I'm Vermont Edition co-host Bob Kinzel. Just wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Haiku, the Japanese form of poetry, is usually described as three unrhymed lines of 5-7-5. That's five syllables, seven syllables, five syllables. Traditionally, this short poem describes a moment in time, often reflecting nature. And there's a cutting word somewhere in the poem, a word that marks a shift in perspective, a turn. It's a linking word connecting two thoughts. But haiku is also a very accessible form of poetry. Kids learn it. Many adults use the form like a kind of meditation, a daily reminder to focus the mind on the world around them or on the daily events that make up a life. We thought it would be a nice way to start 2019 with some self-contained encapsulations of what people in our region are thinking about the year that just ended, the year beginning. We asked you to share your life and your thoughts with us in haiku form, and you have been sharing a lot of poems with us. They're wonderful, and we're going to read many of them in the next half hour or so. Joining me for this purpose today is one of my favorite people, VPR's Morning Edition host, Mitch Wortlieb.
Oh, I feel very much the same, Jane. Wonderful, and welcome. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. And Mitch, I asked you to be a part of this, partly because I think people would rather not have me read 150 haikus in, you know, just in order for the next half an hour.
I wouldn't be so sure about that, but okay.
A little back and forth might be good, but also because... You, when I think of haikus, I think of you, or haiku, I think of you, because it used to be, back in the day, I would come in the morning and go into Master Control, where Mitch hosts Morning Edition, and on a little whiteboard, there would be a haiku. And much of the year, the poems would reflect something that the Red Sox did or did not do the night before. But I was always impressed that you took the time to focus your mind, to stop for a moment, to think about it, to think about the form, because it's not just the sentiment, it's also the form and how many syllables. And, you know, we're not going to ask people to stick to the 5-7-5. I know that that's fungible for a lot of people as they think about haiku. But I always thought that it was impressive that you did that. So I thought you'd be a good partner today.
Well, thank you. And, you know, you're making me wish I should bring that whiteboard back maybe and start doing this again. Maybe that's a New Year's resolution I can do. I forgot about that. That's a long time ago. But you're right. The motivation to do that was to sort of reflect on, you know, things like the Red Sox. And I didn't really know how to express my thoughts about that, and I put maybe a little
really?
Haiku
form. You've never
there.
Had a problem expressing your thoughts about the Red Sox.
But on a whiteboard, if I really tried to do it without haiku, it would just be scribbles of a madman that would keep going on through stream of consciousness. I love the form, though. I mean, I just think it's so accessible, like you said. You know, you don't have to do something that makes you think you're living up to, you know, Whitman or something. I kind of feel like it's a kinder, gentler version of Twitter in a way. You have a limited number of characters to use that format, the 5-7-5, and if you can focus your thoughts and laser something in there and come up with something that just sticks out and makes somebody stop and think, that's a wonderful thing.
Mitch, you want to read a couple that have come in to give people a sense of what we're getting here?
Sure. Let's get things started. We're going to start with a theme here, and this is great, Jane, because you've looked at so many of these, and the response really has been astonishing. And this theme is sort of looking back and ahead, and we got this haiku from Sarah, who writes, "Last year was real bad. Thought this year'd be much better. Next year, still hopeful." Oh, I hope so too, Sarah. I hope it is a little better.
You know, that we got notes from a lot of people who did have a hard year. Gordon writes, "Ulcer popped. Sepsis. Makes you cut down stress and jive. Glad to be alive."
Glad to be alive. I like that. So even though it can rhyme, I suppose, at least for our purposes today, right?
You know, I mean... I think that, yeah, this is not, we're not doing some formal exercise where we're going to kick you out of the club if you don't do 5-7-5. And in fact,
certainly
you know, it's
not.
In Japanese, it's of course different than in English anyway. And, you know, we're sort of using this as our jumping off point.
Right.
And so, you know, whatever works for people, they can send their own poems to us in 5-7-5. They can rhyme, they can not rhyme, whatever.
Well, here's a beautiful one that is certainly more hopeful for the new year. Julia writes, "Birthed a baby girl, seeing the world through her eyes, looking towards the light." Oh, that's nice.
Congratulations
on
the new
indeed,
baby.
Yeah, indeed, Julia, for sure.
We're also getting some people, though, who are sending us some thoughts on the world that has been in 2018. You know, sometimes here on VPR, at least, we certainly look at politics, we look at news, we look at activism, and we're getting people who are sending us their thoughts on that, which is kind of cool. I mean, we've gotten some tweets about the president, or some haiku about the president. We also got Wendy, who says, fighting oppression, systemic injustices, time to get busy. And on the political note, Matt says, Trump's shenanigans. Can we please impeach this clown? Enough with the tweets. But, you know, some people are sending more positive political notes as well. Elizabeth in Orwell says, it's not illusion. Diversity, inclusion is the solution.
Oh, I like that one. There is a little bit of rhyming there, as you say. We're not kicking anybody out of the club today. We heard from Gary in Dummerston, who writes, my child, I'm sorry we are failing to protect our most fragile home. And I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that Gary's writing about climate change there.
Yeah. You know, climate change is one of the things this year, or 2018, Mitch, that I was surprised we didn't get more of. And there are sometimes those lists that come out of the top stories of the year. And in Vermont, especially, Vermont journalists are often polled. And climate change in some of the things that I was getting wasn't even mentioned. And I guess you can't do one headline, but I thought that was one of the massive stories of this year. Obviously, climate change continuing apace, but these new reports that had come out, the political response in the U.S. and abroad, things with the climate accord. I mean, just there was a lot of news about climate and politics wrapped up together in 2018, and I thought that was a very big story of the year.
It was, and I think that part of the reason, I mean, if I'm going to speculate a little, is because climate change is still one of those things that's not pegged to a singular event. There are many events that can happen. There were some huge storms, obviously, but there's still, you know, people discussing, well, I think it's real, I think it's not real. The overwhelming scientific consensus, of course, is that climate change is real. It is being exacerbated by humans. But you're right. It didn't appear on a lot of the lists. And look, there's a lot to talk about. And I think that's reflected in all these haikus that we're getting today.
Let me read one, Mitch, that came in from Caroline. And Caroline sent us a series of haiku organized by month. She writes, I think, a haiku maybe even every day. But so she wrote at least one a month, and she sent us a couple. January. I spend the winter hoping that the lake will freeze. I could walk for miles. April. The dog loves snow and water equally, but the most beloved is mud. July. My southern roommate was shocked to find we have no air conditioning. October. Why is it so dark? My God, it's just 4:30. Why do we live here? And December. It's getting lighter. The heat is on. I'm hoping that the lake will freeze.
I'll bet that she felt so much better after writing those. You could just like follow it along like a calendar of your year. That's beautiful. I love that. Who sent that one in again?
Caroline.
Caroline, that's fantastic. I love it. We did get a lot of personal haikus that were sent in.
Hey, and you know, we got somebody who wrote and said, it's not haikus, it's haiku.
Oh, so
it's
the plural.
It's both singular
just say
and
haiku.
Plural.
Oh, okay. Well, that works both ways.
I'm not going to kick you out of the club that either. So.
I've been kicked out of my own club.
But my understanding is it's haiku.
Well, let's go with that. I'm gonna defer to other people who know more about these things than I do. I like this one from Carl because it's what I like about this one is that it's so open for interpretation, and it's kind of amorphous, but it sort of stands out at the same time. Carl writes, "See, there is Vermont where I should be, but I am not."
Ooh.
It's almost Dr. Seussian.
So you didn't
take
it literally.
That one. No, I didn't, but I. It makes me want to ask Carl more about that particular haiku. I like that one. I like it very much.
I was thinking of it more like maybe he's in the Adirondacks looking across at the Green Mountain like, see, there's Vermont.
Oh, see, like it's right over there. So
yeah.
You took it more literal.
Yeah, I did.
I love the interpretation you can have with these things.
Now, could haiku also traditionally have a lot to do with nature? Nature mm-hmm. is a particularly strong theme through traditional haiku. And we got a lot of nature-themed haiku as well. Ralph says, no walls restrain them, the Canada geese fleeing winter's bitterness.
Chris,
I suppose that could have gone in the political side, too. It sort of has that double meaning,
no
I
walls
think.
Restrain mm-hmm. them. I hadn't thought about that one. We heard from Chris in Moortown, who writes, please stop. My head is full of noise and clamoring. I can't hear the woods.
Not please stop to us?
Well, it could be. Again, this is all open to interpretation.
And Cody Fiala, VPR's Development Services Manager, is a prolific haiku writer. She writes haiku a lot. And on Instagram, she's often pairing a photo with a haiku. And she selected this one from the past year. Love crawls to solstice, feeling her way through the dark, trusting light will come.
Cody should be in here doing this show, frankly. That's really good. That's actually quite beautiful. We heard from Trisha in Williston, who says she writes a haiku every day and sent us this selection. Here are a couple of them from Trisha. 22 mosquito bites below the knee, a search for socks.
I like that one.
One more from Trisha says, praying mantis sucks, juices from the monarch on goldenrod. Yeah, one was a little more straight ahead, and then one a little more flowery and poetic, I believe. Thank you, Trisha.
I'll give you another nature one here as well. Marcia says, window wide opening, dreams fly out as insects scurrying from the frigid cold.
Ooh, that's good. That one gave me a little chill, actually, right there. Here's one from Doreen, getting back to something personal, because I can relate to this one. Doreen writes, black and tan dog's soul flies gently with the old year. We hold him so close. That's a nice one for a dog. I wrote one for my dog.
Yeah, will you read
your
one about Fezzik?
Do you mind if
please
share this one
it.
About Fezzik? Okay. Wooded paths empty when your paw prints are missing. He'll soon walk with me. And just for a little background, my little dog Fezzik is going through a treatment for some parasites right now. I don't want to get into it. It's kind of gross. He can't do the dog things that he normally would do, which includes walking in the woods with me, our daily activity, running in the woods, really. And so I'm just hoping that he heals very soon. That was my haiku for Fezzik.
I like that. Do you still write a haiku frequently? I mean, it used to be, I thought, almost every day.
I was doing it for a while. I was really on a roll, and I can't remember what year that was. It probably was a long time ago. I haven't written them in a while, but when you asked me to do the show, I started thinking about them again and started writing a few down. And I did a few just this morning on Morning Edition as a promo thing. I noticed you did that too. The promo, because they're so accessible, because it feels like poetry that anybody can do. And that's why I love it.
There is, though, a difference between just doing it according to the form and making it good, or crafting it according to what the form asks for traditionally, where you have this cutting word and you have these two thoughts that come together but are separate but also related. I mean, what do you think? And I know that you don't want to ever judge other people, but for you, how do you think about crafting a good haiku? What actually makes a haiku good rather than just, you know, 575?
Just doing the 575, right, which, you know, that's the easy part. I think it has to do with that one word that, again, turns the thing around. Because you want something that's going to surprise you, that will maybe kind of take you out of what you're hearing and say, whoa, that's a word that just caught my ear a little bit. And I've got a good one here, I think, that, again, I'm not an expert on any of this. But Julie writes, 30th birthday, flick, first ever horse of my own, best year, more to come. And, you know, that's just the name of the horse there, but flick, I love that. It just sort of stands out and it makes your ears pick up and take notice. I think that's what makes a really good haiku, something that's just an unexpected turn.
Well, here's one that I think reflects that, but on a more somber note. Susan writes, in June, my world changed, my brother, when your heart stopped. I miss that strong beat.
See, now that's beautiful and sad, and at the same time, it expresses so much love and so much caring in so little time and in such a short form. That's a beautiful haiku.
Yeah, it is. And Susan, I'm really sorry for your loss.
Yeah,
me too. That's a difficult thing. I'll read you another one, Mitch. This came from Samantha in Montpelier, who wrote a series of linked haiku about her father. And this, boy, this just stopped me in my tracks. And so sit back for a moment. My father, he writes the word meth in his drug book, Journal of Doses. He takes to ease his pain. An addict for over 30 years now, those famous opiates, part of our family long before it was in fashion. Vicodin, Valium, hydrocodone, Dilaudid, morphine. Narcotics for life might be my dad's axiom. His axis of pain never quite quelled these weapons of mass destruction on his frail body. All these years, he still takes his medicine, as he calls it, still blames the faulty neck and spine, not given to him by an evil god, but forced upon a young one. Accidents leave our bodies with trauma, but so does a bad childhood. The stories my body could tell. It's why I keep a journal. Understand the need to write it all down, a timetable, working out doses and evidence of love. Could it be my father finds his love in the numbness of those drugs, like meth? Has he come that far?
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing right there. I mean, that's an entire poem. That's the kind of thing I think that people who are struggling with addiction or people who love people who are struggling with addiction would want to have close to them and be able to refer to.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And Samantha, in Montpelier, I really appreciate you sharing it with us. It is so personal and so not universal, but so easily understood, I think, by so many people who deal with trauma, who deal with drug addiction, and who deal with other complications within their family. I mean, that it's just, as you said, Mitch, it's so distilled and yet such a big story in such few words. And sometimes I think for me, I feel like I spew words. I just talk and talk and talk and talk. And I look at these people who can write haiku and express so much in so few words. And I'm just, you know, I'm awed by people who are able to do that. It is not a particular skill of mine. And this poem, Samantha, was very powerful.
Yeah, I would agree. It's something like the perfect joke. It's like something like the perfect tweet sometimes. Those things that are done in such a short fashion, but that hammer home so hard. That was really beautiful.
We are reflecting today on the turning of another year by sharing thoughts in haiku form, 575 syllables, that is. Try it yourself. And I am with Mitch Wortlieb today, whom you know well as VPR's Morning Edition host. I also know him as a haiku writer. And Mitch, you want to share some more with us?
I would love to. And I appreciate that you consider me a haiku writer. I don't consider one myself, but it is fun to do, and I do enjoy it. Here's one from Catherine, who writes, a year of sadness, but bright sun on frozen grass promises a spring. So it starts out, look at how much she's done there in that little haiku. It starts out with sadness and then, boom, it just turns on a dime and there's hope for the new year. I love that.
I do too. And I like that it's, working with that theme of nature.
Yes.
But also turning it to emotion and personal and how that works to sort of twist it to become something that's not just about nature, but how we look at nature and anthropomorphize it and turn it into, you know, what we hope will become.
And I think that's another good thing to do, Jane, is to think about anthropomorphizing sometimes those things of nature that you wouldn't necessarily do. It gives life to certain words and certain things. Again, it's something that you don't expect. And I guess in that vein, if I could just read one from Mark in Pulteney, who says, late summer, the egg-gathering basket filled with tomatoes, which is very straight ahead. But then he writes another one, which I'm very fond of, which I must read. Grateful Vermonter, the fall foliage peaks on Bobby's birthday. Now, I have to explain this because Mark wrote that and said, isn't Mitch fond of the Grateful Dead? Here's one for him. Bobby's referring to Bob Weir there. Bobby's birthday was October 16th, and that is when this was written by Mark in Pulteney, and I do love it. Thank you, Mark. Well done, sir.
You know, other people are writing to you, Mitch. Nancy says, Mitch in the morning, his voice, sports talk, humor, heart. Thank you, VPR.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to frame that one or put it on a whiteboard there. That's wonderful.
Thank you. My dad just sent me a text, and he says, on my way back home, listening to Jane and Mitch, charged with love and hope.
Wow. Well done, Carl. That's fantastic.
Yeah. While traveling. He writes it right up.
Gosh, anybody can do it.
We also got one from Gus who says, ashes wait in fear, slender limbs strive to heaven, offer up a prayer.
Now, see, that's beautiful. Because that has wonderful imagery. You're not quite sure what it's about. Offer up a prayer to what? But the imagery of that is striking. I really like that one.
Mm-hmm. Meredith, we heard earlier from somebody who had a baby girl. Meredith sent us this. My baby boy, born to provide, be my best self, my resolution.
Oh, that's nice. Wow, these folks are good.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm going to read a couple more that have just come in.
Please do.
Bob says, President George Bush, his very last words on this earth were, I love you too.
Wow. And political and beautiful without being divisive.
Mm-hmm.
A lot's getting done here with you. Here's one from Marcia, who writes, window wide opening, dreams fly out as insects scurrying from the frigid cold. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, me too.
You want me to read mine, Mitch?
Please hesitate to do this because, as I said, I was hoping that you would.
Well, you know, I am not a very good haiku writer. I find myself worrying too much about form, and then it doesn't fit, and then I'm so change things around.
Let us be the judge of that, Jane.
I know, yes. I know. This is the worst thing to do is to, you know, to preface it. But anyway, here's mine. Heartbeat and breath fast, feet finally outpace brain. Trail runs quiet my mind.
Now, I love that because I happen to know that you love trail running, and this is one of your favorite things to do. And that little haiku there just says Jane to me. And so I
See,
love it.
There we go.
I love it.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's especially in the last couple of years, I just can't keep pace with the news and I can't keep pace with my to-do list. And so I find that my brain is just constantly spinning. And really the only time that I can sort of get it to stop is when I'm breathing so hard that I can't, you know, or I can sort of spin myself right out of that thought by running and sort of having an argument in my head. And then by the time I'm done with my trail run, it's like,
it's whatever works, you know, and we've been getting that over the past year. I think I had mentioned before the year ended that a lot of people have been telling me it's been hard to listen to the news and, you know, say, we love you. We love VPR. But there are times I have to turn it off. And we understand. We're hoping that 2019 is easier on everybody.
It's hard to work in the news, frankly, because you can't turn it off you can't keep up.
Right. There's
this is a therapy session here.
Yeah. Right.
But we should do it in haiku form.
We should do haiku form therapy. Can I read one from Chris?
Of course, please.
Concerts on the green, muggy and hot nights, no sleep. Damn, it's cold out now.
let's go to a call. We have a call here from David in Canterbury, New Hampshire. Hi, David. Nice to talk with you.
Hey, it's good to hear from you guys. I enjoy your program very much.
Oh,
this is for my rich relative. You go to infinity big, and I'll go to infinity small, and we'll meet back here in the fall. Our graves to dig, I'll dig yours, and you dig mine, and with our Lord we will dine.
Ooh, David, when did you write that?
Oh, 3 or 4 years ago, and I finally wrote it down. I wrote it in my – I write some in my mind, but I never write them down.
Yeah.
I got to write that one down.
Well, I'm so glad you did, and I'm so glad we had an excuse for you to share it. Thank you for sharing that with us, and Happy New Year.
I loved Infinity Big and Infinity Small.
Yeah.
You know what you know, because if you can't put a time limit or a size limit on infinity, and yet David did and made it work again.
So yeah, and that idea of, you know, a rich relative, and so you sort of think of perhaps two people in different circumstances and how expansive their ideas of what they can do are, you know, and sort of putting that in perspective. I like, David. Thank you. Another caller on the line with us, John, who's calling in from Williston. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hi. Do you have a haiku?
Really? Yes, I do. And the title is Weather. And here it goes. The clouds are like shrouds, heavy, low-hung, and gloomy, oppress and depress.
Ooh, I like it. You got the weather imagery and the actual meteorological terms in there. Again, while also turning to emotion. Very well done, John. Thank you very much.
Perfect for this time of year. That's fantastic. We heard from Christina. This past year was hard, but I'll be moving forward. Nothing but good now. I certainly hope that's true for you in 2019, Christina.
Boy, am I hearing that from a lot of people. I think 2018, at least in the people sort of, you know, the circles that I look at and, you know, looking at the Twitterverse. And so, you know, it's not certainly not a representative sampling, but I feel like a lot of people had a very hard 2018. And yet are hopeful. And maybe that's just a reflection of what you do on New Year's Day and the day after is you try to be hopeful. You try to look forward to step into the new year thinking, okay, you know, I'm ready for something better. But it does feel like there was a lot of hardship and a lot of heartbreak that I'm hearing from people, but still this optimism and hope that, you know, is inspiring to think about people saying, okay, I'm still going to get up. I'm still going to move forward. I'm going
to
try.
And I love that they put that into a haiku and took the time to do that. I try to picture people when they wrote these, how much time it took them, what inspired them. I mean, you know, this came together really quickly in a way, and it's become very popular. I love it. We're getting a lot of people here.
We got a note from Mark who says, composition eye, beauty, stories, emotions. The shutter goes click.
Ooh, okay.
Nice photographer haiku
there.
Well,
I was going to say you're a photographer, a quite good one, actually. And so I think that you would like that one very much.
I do. I love this one from Tom that just came in as well. Heart attack, new meds. Tachycardia, new meds. I decline to die.
So a little repetition there. I like that. And I decline to die, the defiance at the end. Wow. We've got some creative people.
Yeah, and boy, sometimes it takes a while to get the right meds. You know, you've got to keep trying and keep trying. It's really wonderful. If you'd like to share your haiku, our number, 800-639-2211. We've got a couple more minutes here to share some wonderful poetry that you guys are sending us, that you're really inspiring me and certainly inspiring Mitch, I think, as well. Lorraine is on the line with us from St. Johnsbury. Hi, Lorraine.
Hi. I got a couple here, and I get mixed up whether it's 757 or 575, so I mix it up.
Good.
Anyway, but would you not agree? Feathered ones know deep earth moves. It shows in their flight.
Mm.
Graceful pigeons' flight changed with zigzag zig. Earthquake rocked anchorage.
Oh, Lorraine, I like that.
I like the zigzag zig, Lorraine. I like how that comes off the tongue. That's really cool.
Yeah, you could save that as well and call back during our bird show. Share it again.
I think Bridget would like that.
Yeah,
one.
Lorraine, thanks very much. Megan writes, tongue out, eyes squinting. Toddler's work is never done. Play-Doh can be cleaned.
Can it, though?
Yeah.
Can it really?
That's a familiar sentiment in my life these days. Thanks, Megan.
Jenna wrote, cooked scrambled eggs in potato in fireplace. Eggs puffed up a lot. We've got that visual right there.
I love that as well. And Jenna also sent us a little note with that saying that for a while I tried to write a haiku every day, but a lot of them ended up being how boring work can be. Now I write them when something notable happens, and I'm using a very loose definition of notable, she says. So that the cooked scrambled eggs, I really like that.
When you make a really good scrambled egg, that is notable. I'm calling that definitely worthy there.
Well, what I like about people I like about the practice that people do who write haiku every day or who write haiku frequently or any kind of poetry or any kind of writing, frankly, you know, journaling, is that it does force you to take a moment and think about your life and think about the things that are happening, and not just to you personally, but to be more observant about your own life. And so something like scrambled eggs cooked in a potato in the fireplace, they puffed up a lot. It's small, you know, it's a small detail, but you're taking a moment to preserve a detail in your life. And I think that that's valuable as you think about your life as a whole, not just your grievances or your complaints or what you have to do today. Or as I said earlier, that to-do list that just keeps growing and never shrinks. You're stopping for a moment. Right. And it is a little bit of meditation.
You take a moment. That's what that's about. And those small details, again, doing scrambled eggs, that kind of thing, whole novels, stream of consciousness. I've been written about this. James Joyce did a whole thing about it, you know, one day walking around in Dublin. This is the stuff that is our lives. And if it's a small moment that feels right to you, it's big enough to write down and to tell us about it. That's
and
what
to
we're here for.
Maybe change your perspective on it. You know, you're not just thinking about the thing, you're actually sort of thinking about what it means or how it happened.
And all the offshoots from that.
Yeah, I like that. Nicole sent us a lot of haiku, and I'll read just one of them, but this is in our sort of politics and activism and news bucket here of haiku. Mm. Nicole says, a new visitor flies on by. We wave hi to Oumuamua.
Ooh, that's good. I'll let you pronounce that right.
That's right. First extra, interstellar object that we've noticed in Earth's atmosphere. Pretty cool.
Great story. That was a good way to kick off 2019. We got this from Cam. New Year's Day, all the mountains I have yet to climb. And I imagine that was written probably right on New Year's Day.
Mm, and could be metaphoric.
It could be indeed.
Literal.
Or literal.
That's right.
Yeah.
Elliot in Montreal says, my tears have dried up, mirroring the change of climate. Dryness sweeps my soul.
Oh, man. People are good. I'm impressed. I really like this.
New ones coming in as well. Sam, who actually is just over in Master Control, writes, in my dishwasher, wooden spoon fell on heater. Everything smells weird.
Party at Sam's house.
See, this is, again, things that happen in your daily life. This, for example, happened to Sam this morning, a wooden spoon in the dishwasher. You know, you got to reflect on the moments you've
here?
Got. It was at his home, I believe.
Okay, I wanted to make sure because I did
smell. Oh, let's get him in here. He can tell us the story for 20 or 30 minutes.
We got this from Chuck. Branches veiled in leaves, in summer unseen, now in winter reaching for heaven.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Charlotte's with us from Woodstock. Hi, Charlotte. Thank you for joining our haiku party.
Oh, you're welcome. I was out walking and felt so much a part of the earth and the planet we live on. So I wrote, arcing the planet, silken thread spun from my soul expands the spinner.
Expands the spinner. That's a nice finish to that one, Charlotte.
Charlotte, when did you write that?
A few years back.
And you've kept it. So do you write frequently? Do you write haiku? Or was that an inspiration that was irregular for you?
That was an inspiration. And I've written many other poems that are not haiku. But I did that in college many years ago and just kept the ones that I wrote. I was in a literary magazine in college.
And
that was many years after college. That struck me when I was walking on a hill, feeling all the glories of the wonderful earth that we live on.
Well, I appreciate you sharing it with us today. Thank you for calling in. So lovely to hear people read their own poems in their voice, too. I'll just get a couple more in, Mitch, before we go. Linda writes, "Body betrays me, thwarting my efforts daily. Must carry on." Kathleen says, "We stretch our tired brains to understand their viewpoint. Need to try harder."
Don't we all?
Mm-hmm.
Andrew set a haiku, I think, from Ursula K. Le Guin's English translation of the Tao Te Ching. "Greed's the curse of life. To know enough's enough is enough to know." Very clever.
Yeah. Cheater, though, not writing your own.
I still like that.
Yeah, of course. Anna says, "Past regret and fear stuck in my track. I see life in tiny changes."
Everybody's doing it.
Everybody's doing it. Let's leave it there. Mitch Wortlieb is VPR's Morning Edition host and a sometimes prolific haiku writer himself. Thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Oh, it's totally my pleasure, Jane. Thanks for asking me.
And thanks, listeners, to all of you for sending us your wonderful poems. It's been really inspiring to read your writing and to read what's been happening in your life and your hopes and dreams for 2019. So here I'm raising a mason jar of water, productive, inspired, and kindness-filled 2019 to all of you.